This is part two of The Endgame for Sears on Sirius XM Radio with host Dan Loney.
And hi, everybody, and welcome to Knowledge at Wharton here on Sirius XM 111 Business Radio, powered by the Wharton School. Welcome to our show. Are we about to see an iconic retail brand shut its doors altogether? That's the question that many people have been asking the last few months about Sears. Mark Cohen is a director of retail sales at Columbia University School of Business. He joins us on the phone, as does Adam Hartung, who is CEO of Content Laboratory, managing partner of Spark Partners, and a Forbes leadership columnist. If somebody came to you and wanted them to bring you on as a consultant, basically overseeing the company right now, what's the first couple of things you do with Sears?
I hate to say this, it pains me to say this, but I think it's far too late for anyone to save this company. I'd like to think that I have enough experience and that I could bring a team together quickly who do have the insight and experience, but in point of fact, this enterprise has been so hollowed out and damaged that I don't think there's any possibility.
Adam, go ahead.
I think I would agree with Mark, to be honest with you. All assets require some effort to increase in value. When you strip the value away, it's very hard to ever put it back. Now, investors will often dream that somehow something will be made out of that asset, but that frequently can be shown to be a dream. And you mentioned the stores and location of the stores. I live in the Chicago area. One of the grocers in town was named Dominick's. Was forced out of business because we simply had too many grocery stores in the Chicago area. When they shut down Dominick's, about 50% of the stores were picked up by competitors, and 50% of them were sitting vacant.
Yeah.
5 years later, just sitting there. Nothing, no demand for those stores at all. And it's not that they're in some terrible location there. They're central locations of suburban communities, but there's plenty of stores out there. When you have a brand, you have to invest in that brand. You have to advertise. You have to, you know, keep adding to the product suite, and you have to make it relevant to the customers. And so those brands that 15 years ago, like Die Hard and Craftsman and Kenmore, had value, that value's been stripped away. Now when we think of tools, we think you're going to Home Depot or Lowe's or another of those competitors. You know, when you think about buying a battery, you don't think of Die Hard first and foremost. You think of going to Pep Boys or one of those kinds of stores to pick up a product. So those assets have so declined in value, and it would take so much money to revitalize those assets and to turn them into something that would be valuable, that at this point it's best off to literally, you're in a shutdown mode now. It's just continuing the cost cutting that destroyed the company a decade ago, and just finishing it out.
We're talking with Mark Cohen of Columbia University, Adam Hartung of Content Laboratory, the CEO. You know, Mark and Adam, there's probably another 50,000 of those types of situations out there where people have you know, had so much confidence in Sears and just had it ripped right away. Right, Mark?
There are suppliers who have been watching their business wind down. They're planning actively and aggressively for the eventual collapse of this thing. They're looking for other places to place their products, either direct or through other retailers, because the end is coming. But this is going to become another headline when folks begin to put this company again on credit watch.
Adam, let's think time frame here. We're obviously, I think we're talking within the next couple of years, at the most. We will probably hear the term bankruptcy for Sears, but obviously we got to start thinking about this as both companies, Sears and then probably Kmart, fairly soon after that. Correct?
Well, yeah, I imagine that we're going to see a bankruptcy event probably within the next year. I don't even think it'll take two.
Yeah.
You've got a seriously cash flow negative company here. It's run by a hedge fund manager. He's going to have to preserve cash. He's going to have to make some quick decisions about how he can liquidate assets and preserve as much cash as possible for ESL, as you mentioned earlier. And that's in a very big way. It gets to Mark's comment about the nefarious behavior of Lampert. leaders have more than one constituency. We've migrated to a world where we talk all the time about investors. Of course, when I write for Forbes, I'm frequently talking to investors in the investor class. But as a leader, you have more constituencies than just your investors. You also have your employees, you have your suppliers, and you have the community around you. And these are all very important constituencies. When you're successful, all four of those are winning. Your employees are winning, your suppliers are winning, the communities that you work in are winning, and your investors are winning. When you make the move as a leader towards thinking only about the investors, that's when you start to get into these really big problems, because it becomes simple to just whack heads, do layoffs, sell product lines, take actions that in the short term make the P&L look better, but they're undercutting all these constituents. And you end up with guys out there who was very loyal, I'm sure, as an employee, got to work on time, did what he was supposed to do, paid attention to the customers, and you just cut him off.
Yeah.
Just cut him off and let him drift. And that's bad leadership. And you know, we've seen a migration over the last 20 years towards leaders focusing, I think, too much on the investors and not enough on all the constituents that they're really responsible for.
Gentlemen, great to have you on the show. Hopefully we can do this again. Unfortunately, it'll probably be when the hammer finally drops on this. Greatly appreciate it, Mark and Adam. Thank you both. Great to have you both on the show. Mark Cohen of Columbia University, Adam Hartung of Content Laboratory.